Old Testament lesson reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, beginning from verse 1 to 6. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The New Testament reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses beginning from verse 24 to 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From the one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 38 to chapter 5, verses 11.
Praising, glory to God.
Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to it, to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And typical of Simon, he answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up to shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to
Christ the Word.
When Rebecca, our second daughter, and her husband bought their first home recently in Whangarei, there was a gap for the fridge. They got out the tape measure, they measured it, and went off to the shop. They found a fridge that was the perfect fit. But they'd forgotten that there was a skirting board at the bottom of the gap. So there was a skirting board down both sides of the gapped area. What do you do? Do you remove the skirting board and the work that's involved in that? Do you go back to the shop and return the fridge for a smaller model when you've already found the one that you really want? Or do you think outside the square? They did the latter. They went to the hardware store, they bought two pieces of 4x4 timber, cut them to shape, cut them to size, and then put the fridge on top of them and slid them in to the space above the skirting boards. The moral of the story is, with some lateral thinking and with a little effort, things can fit in where you don't think they can. More on this later. The theme for today is whānau and community. I wonder what this means to you. What picture does this paint in your mind? It might be helpful to provide a couple of simple definitions. Whānau is often translated simply as family, but is much more than that. Its meaning is more complex. It includes physical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions. Whānau can be multi-layered, flexible, and dynamic. One definition of community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. As you can see, in some ways, the words whānau and community are interchangeable. And throughout this talk, I will refer to one or the other when maybe both are applicable. I will come back soon to talk in some detail about our whānaus and our communities, but firstly I want to remind us about where we've been through the first 2 weeks of our 2019 Lenten study. 2 weeks ago in week one, Paul and Fraser used Acts 2 verses 42 to 47 as the main teaching passage. Verse 42 from our Pew Bibles says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Those of you who were present will remember the four coloured pieces of paper that Paul used to remind us of these four very important areas of church life that we all should be devoted to. Apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. In week two, Emily spoke about Jesus' whānau. She started with a photo of the Patterson family and shared that following her marriage to Aaron, she had to make some effort to fit into the new family unit. And likewise, her fellow family members, the Patterson family, had to make a little bit of an effort to fit Emily into her fridge gap. I thought that this was a helpful analogy. Perhaps Em might have used 4x4, but she's a little bit more gentle than that, and I'm sure that she's found a space in that family, as we all need to do in ours. When Em shared about the importance of the Jesus whānau, I was challenged by the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure some of you were as well, to make a real effort and an ongoing commitment into being a member of the church family here at St. Margaret's, and also to help others to do the same. Those of us who have been here for a long time need to go out of our way to help new people to be part of our church whānau. Emily asked us two questions. Is church an event you go to, or a family you belong to? Now back to today's theme, far now and community, and the three Bible readings and the commentary this week that has been in the book, the Redemptive Family book, that many of you will be doing as we go through Lent. Visitors are excused from not doing your homework this week, but there are some spare copies of this book, and if you would like one after the service, please see me and I'll arrange that for you. Our reading from Acts this morning was a reading from the chapter 2 of the book that we've been reading through. And that chapter is entitled Faithful Presence. Acts 17:24 says, "The God who has made everything, that made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. He lives in you and me, and he gives us the responsibility to be his hands and his feet, his arms and his legs in the communities where we belong. As Emily spoke to us last week, you will naturally think about the church far now here at St. Margaret's as being one of the communities that most of you, apart from visitors of course, belong to. The following examples are of other communities that some of you may have reflected upon. Your biological family, your workplace, your school, your university or polytech, the place, the suburb or street where you live, your community group, your sports club, your political group, your home group, your music group, your retirement village, whatever those communities relate to you, you are called by God to be in those places. And you are his representative. When I first started my prep for this talk, I came up with that list. But after the tragic events of Christchurch, in Christchurch on Friday the 15th of March, I think we need to, or I need to, enlarge that list to include New Zealand as a community. During the past few days, we have all seen, heard, read some wonderful demonstrations of love, support, caring, kindness, giving, all wonderful examples of a vibrant community. There have been some truly amazing examples of people and communities of people throughout the whole country doing some awesome things, almost all of which one person on their own could not achieve, required a community. Each one of us has been placed in multiple communities to do God's work and have God's influence. God has deliberately placed you and me in these communities to be faithfully present for Jesus and to see the extension of his kingdom. There are five communities that I'll talk about that are applicable to most of us. We are firstly called to be Christ's representative, being faithfully present in our church far now. I won't go too much detail about that, because Emily spoke about that last week. And I've also realised that when I prepped, I probably prepared more than the 45 minutes I was allowed. But Emily spoke a lot about the church family. But one of the things that was in the book, which I thought was really cool, Howard Webb is the author. And in the book, he writes, "Relationships flourish through regular encounters." And for me, and I'm sure you, these regular encounters happen in our communities. And if we reflect on the gospel reading this morning, we will hear that Jesus had regular encounters with Simon Peter. And after one of these encounters, the third one that's mentioned in that particular passage, Simon then decided to follow Jesus. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. That was after a number of regular encounters. Secondly, we are called to be Christ's representative, being present faithfully in our biological family. My wife Kay, who is not here this Sunday, as she's away with 23 other ladies at the Women's Weekend in Lake Tarawera, and we've always put Jesus at the centre of our lives individually, in the centre of our marriage, and in the centre of our growing family. And it's lovely to have Libby and Bjorn and Jay at our service today. This is not it's not always easy to be a faithful disciple of Christ in our family, because they often see us at our worst. So I'm going to list a few examples, and when I say you, I'm actually at the same time looking at me in the mirror. When you are tired and grumpy, when you're speeding in your car or you cut someone off, when you lose your temper, when you are late home from work and miss dinner yet again, and that certainly applies to me, and tragically and definitely to me, when you sulk big time after losing a board game. Our biological family is, for many of us, the group of people who we spend the most time with. So we also, as well as having them seeing our shortfalls, we also have plenty of time in which to make up for that. Praying together, walking together, laughing together, playing board games together, with no sulking, of course, reading the Bible together, discussing last week's sermon together, eating and drinking together. Just does that remind you of the list from Acts 2 that Paul and Fraser spoke about a couple of weeks ago? Teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer, just as important in our biological families. For many of us, this family is the most obvious mission field and a great place to share and live our faith. My encouragement to all parents and grandparents, particularly of those of you with young children and those of you who are about to start a family, is that you try to live godly lives in your family at all times and share your faith in the things that you do, and if required, use words. To paraphrase a quote widely attributed to St. Francis, preach Jesus, and if necessary, use words. Whoever said that even their young children don't listen was simply wrong. From Kay and my experience, our children hear a lot more than we ever think they do, or perhaps we even want them to hear. And they definitely see what we do. Trust me, they are watching. I can distinctly remember an example when Libby, our eldest child, was about 5 years old. We attended a service here at St. Margaret's when Libby spent most of her time colouring in and reading a book. She was not even listening to the service at all, or at least that's what I thought. At the table during lunch that same day, with our family meal, Libby asked a few very insightful questions about what Max had said that day. She was probably listening to the sermon better than I was. Another listening example. Those of you who know me will know that I'm not a particularly practical person around the house, and I'm certainly no DIY Kiwi. On the rare occasion, I actually had a hammer in my hand, and it was doing a very simple job. Well, it would have been simple for most of you. And I managed to strike my thumb. And I shouted out in my loud voice, as I can do at times, "Flippin' Nora!" James, our oldest son and third of our four children, was with me at the time, sitting and watching what Daddy was doing. And for about the next 3 weeks, when something didn't go particularly well, James, who has got an equally loud voice, would shout out, "Flippin' Nora!" at the top of his very loud three-year-old voice. He was certainly listening to what I said. And I'm just pleased that that is all I said. Doing stuff. Kay and I have always made church attendance highest priority for us and for our family, whether we're at home or whether away on holiday. This strong commitment to church has continued to our four children, all of whom have a strong personal faith, and three who have a strong commitment to their church. May God be given all praise. Another story involving Libby. Apologies, my darling. At the age of 5, when her sister Rebecca, we know her, the one who couldn't fit the fridge into the gap, was 3, We heard Libby asking Rebecca if she had Jesus in her heart, then leading her through the sinner's prayer. This was something that she had obviously learnt at church. It's just another example of how our children, our young people, listen to us old people, fellow members of the church, fellow members of our church whānau, our community. What, you know, they are watching us. What a wonderful lesson that Libby taught us at such a young age. Preach it, Libby. Some people might find their families difficult, but we are all still called to be in them by God. I pray that you will have the strength to be faithfully present within your family and bring His blessing to those in your family. Don't underestimate how God can use you in the most challenging situations. In your weakness, God's strength can be seen. Sometimes we need to think laterally, a bit like the fridge story, and work out how to fit into the space within our family. Sometimes it might require a major change, but sometimes it's just a bit of lateral thinking, a bit of 4x4. Thirdly, we're asked to be Christ's representative, being faithfully present in our workplaces. For several of us, and certainly includes me, we spend an awful lot of time either at work or thinking about work. And this community is important to us. Perhaps, and almost definitely, even too important and out of balance. But that is a whole subject on its own and not the focus for today. I have been in managerial positions most of my career. My staff know that I'm a Christian. Sometimes I very much feel like I'm under the spotlight. I'm reminded of a question I was once asked. Andrew, if you had a bumper sticker that's on your car that said, "Jesus is Lord," would it change the way I drive? It absolutely would. Or at least it should. Just like fellow drivers would be looking at my driving, my staff are watching me to see how I respond in certain work situations. My language, my treatment of staff, my honesty and integrity, and it's really important in business, my relationships with customers and suppliers, my reaction when things are not going well, and my commitment to the work whānau. It is really important that they see a bit of Jesus, or hopefully a lot of Jesus, when they watch and listen to me. We have all been placed by God into our workplaces, workplace communities, for those of you who work, of course. And it is our responsibility to be God's representative there. People in your workplaces will also be looking to you as to how you live out your Christian life. Much criticism of Christianity in society today is based on what people see us do and hear us say. My challenge to you again, looking in that mirror, is to seek the Lord with all your heart, all your will, all your soul, and all your strength. In 1 Corinthians 12, we read about the human body having many parts. We are all important. Yes, every one of us are important parts of the body of Christ here at St. Margaret's. I'll now share an experience of how, relating to our workplace, which I believe came to me when I was preparing this talk. I currently own a plumbing business with a business partner called John. We have 18 staff, and in an average month we have around about 300 different customers. Between John and me, we probably know or have even met about 30 of these, about 10%. The remainder ring in, speak to one of our office staff to book in a job. They're then visited by one or more of our plumbers who carry out the necessary work, and then our accounts people send them an invoice. So about 90% of the time, this happens without the direct involvement from John or myself. Think about the church. Fraser, the staff, the vestry of St. Margaret's, have direct impact with a very small proportion of our respective communities. Christ wants us as members of his church to be his hands and his feet, his arms and his legs, his eyes and his ears in our workplaces. Your workmates are not going to hear this talk this morning, but next week they're going to hear what you say to them and to others. See how you treat them and others. See your support of the needy. They will see your support of good things, and they will hear what you say. They will see your commitment to your work. That is the sermon that they are going to hear this week. What will they hear and see? Now, that's a challenge for us all. Fourthly, we're Christ's representative. We're asked to be faithfully present with our physical neighbours. One of the sad things about modern society is that many of us do not see our neighbours very often. We live busy lives. We live behind big fences and walls. We're often working away from home for long periods of time. Some of us work shift work, and we pass like ships in the night with our neighbours. I know some of you have awesome relationships with those who live next door, just around the road, just around the corner, over the road. You are great examples for us all. I've seen photos on Facebook of some of our church members at street parties with their neighbours. Others of you collect your neighbours, bring them to church. Others take meals to neighbours when they're unwell. What a great way to meet those who live close to us and to build a closer whānau with our neighbours. How can we change the way we do things in our neighbourhood to enable us to have more contact with our neighbours? How do we fit our fridge into our neighbourhood space? Alan Stevenson, who spoke to us via streaming at the men's breakfast yesterday morning, suggested three things which I thought were really helpful. First, we should pray. Then we should display. Then we should say. And what Alan was basically saying, firstly, we should pray for opportunities to meet our neighbours. Then we should display our love to them in the way that God leads you. And after we've developed a friendship or a connection with that person, do we actually need to say anything? And lastly, we are Christ's representative, and we're commanded to be faithfully present in our community groups and our sports teams. Almost all of you will at some stage have been involved in a community group or a sports team. For me, sports has been and continues to be an important part of my life. How do I reflect Christ on the sports field, in the gymnasium, on the golf course, and in the club rooms afterwards? We need to consider certain things: our language, our behaviour, our sportsmanship, our fair play, our competitiveness, and this is an area that I still need to do a lot of work on, and our drinking. I often use sports examples to illustrate Christian messages to others, because quite a lot of my non-Christian friends are people I've played sports with and against. And for those of you who've played in sports teams, you will know how important it is that every member of the team plays their part. The team does not win when your teammate drops the ball. And I guess there's a challenge there for us in our church, that the church needs everyone to play the game and be part of that same team. And we are very reliant on everyone doing the part that they have been asked by God to play. In conclusion, not all of us are called to be missionaries, although many of you will remember a number of years ago there was a banner at the back of the church on the back wall as we were leaving, and it said, "You are now entering the mission field." Not all of us will be missionaries as such, but we are all called to play our part, use our gifts, so that God's kingdom is enlarged and glorified. As we say at the end of every service, we are to go out and make Jesus known and see lives transformed. We are all made in the image of God. We are how he is known in this world. From our Acts reading today, 17:24, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. He does not live in temples made of stone. He lives in you and me. We have a stamp of God on us, and we must live and act as his representatives. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. When we live as one with Christ, it is our desire to listen to him, just as our children and our young people listen to us. And then once listening and once heard, to do what God asks. Let us show and speak God's love to our church whānau, our biological family, in our workplaces, with our neighbours, in our sports teams, and in whatever community where God has placed you and me. And let us as a church be relevant and real to the communities here in Hillsborough and beyond. We cannot avoid it. Christ is in us, longing to extend his whānau through us as we connect with our various communities, being faithfully and consciously present. If there is an area where you feel you need support, I encourage you to read again from our first reading this morning, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. The next week in our Lenten studies, the study chapter 3, is entitled Nurturing Redemptive Relationships. Howard Webb asks us, what is the mechanism by which people from the community are going to come in to experience church family from the inside out? The answer is you and me. We are the pathway by which others will be led to experience the church family. Amen.